Hey everyone, and welcome to Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Reggie.
And this week, we're nerding out on spooky season.
Ooh, Spooktober.
Yes. We have a kind of a different episode today where we will be telling short local ghost stories, legends, maybe cryptids might get discussed that are nearby us to celebrate the official start of spooky season. And then at the end, in true Total Nerd List fashion, we will list out what we thought were the scariest.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm excited as well. We're just a Halloween podcast now. I hope y'all know that because we did not get a Halloween last year except for like a few people at Reggie's house. So we're taking an entire month for it this year, I believe, correct? Are we all on the same page with that?
Yes.
100%.
Halloween podcast until December 25th.
I like it. Well, we started watching Halloween stuff September 19th, the day after Corey's birthday.
Ooh.
And that's when I started decorating. I haven't finished everything because I've been trying to slowly do it so that way when October 1 comes, I'm done. So I've got a couple finishing touches inside the house, and then I have a coworker whose mom is actually giving me a whole bunch of outside decorations, so I've got to make a special trip to go get that. And then I'll finish the outside.
Yay.
I love October and I love Halloween.
Well, before we get to our stories, what have you guys been nerding out on this week?
Well, I'll start. They released a expansion pack for Power Rangers Battle for the Grid with Adam, Poisandra, and Rita.
Yes.
You only get Adam to start with, though. I guess they're releasing the other two at a later date. But I also bought the rest of the expansion packs, so I now have like all the characters. So I've been really enjoying playing those, seeing all the different characters and combinations, and trying to get through the arcade with everyone, even though I don't think that really does anything for you.
It's something for your soul.
Yes. Something fun, though. But the other night I was playing, and usually like when a character gets eliminated, they disappear. But for some reason, like, they would disappear, and then all of a sudden you would like get to the other side of the map and they're just like dead body would be laying there.
That's terrible.
It was like the most disrespectful glitch I've ever been a part of, but it kept happening. It was just a bunch of dead Power Rangers all over the ground while I was playing my fighting game. So that was very interesting, but the expansion pack's pretty fun. I'm really bad playing with it's Adam and his Ninjetti costume suit. Is that a suit? I guess not a costume.
Kind of.
But yeah, that's been mostly my gaming week. And then I've kind of gotten really into, it's called like retro wave music, just kind of electronic dance music, synth type stuff. I've been listening to a lot of that, and I actually found like a, I guess it's considered like a rock opera type thing, like a 50-minute music video for called Blood Machines, and it was super wild. It was like about these ships that had AI in them that ran them, and the AI was female. And I guess like it opens with a wreck on a planet, and there's like these religious people like, we got to save the ship. And they do this ritual, and all of a sudden, like the AI comes out as an actual person and then like flies into space, and it's following these two guys while they like chase the AI for the Federation, and some really wild music. And it's got some, it's super, super weird, very weird, but it was fun and colorful and had some good music. So I'd definitely check it out. It's on Amazon. It's a three part special. But yeah, Blood Machines. And then I actually bought a synth myself to hopefully make some music, because I haven't been able to make music in quite a while. And it's really hard to have a band as an adult. We know how hard it is to get three people together for a podcast. So, you know, getting all a bunch of people together who can lug a bunch of instruments around all the time and play in a band is just really hard for me. So I finally bought like this cool synth that I can make a bunch of music on by myself. So it's been fun. And I stayed up until like 2 a.m. last night playing with it.
Oh, wow.
So hopefully gonna maybe get us some cool music for the podcast and get us creepy theme song or something.
Yeah, we could update our actual theme song to something that's not made from a click and grab computer.
We'll give it a shot.
Yeah,
Beyonce going.
Beyonce up in here.
The total nerdless dance party. But yeah, that's been my week. Really fun fighting games. Still waiting on Pokemon and Metroid to come out, and listening to a lot of music.
Very cool.
Very nice.
What about you, Reggie?
Well, this past week and weekend, I actually spent it in this magical, far, far away place across over the rainbow called the Land of Oz. I actually got the opportunity to play the corner of Munchkinland at the Beach Mountain Land of Oz this past weekend. And so basically I stood on a platform on the side of the Yellow Brick Road and sang at people as they came by and had the most amazing time of my life. I'm an Oz person. I didn't realize how much I loved the Wizard of Oz until we were there and we were doing it. And I don't think I ever realized how many times I've seen that movie, because I literally can quote it from beginning to end. I knew the song that I needed to sing like off the top of my head when they told me, you know, when they asked me if I could do it. It was also really exciting for me because I have always had dreams of being an actor, and it was my first time ever doing acting and getting paid for it. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And also, really, other than that, the only other thing that we've been doing is we have started watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine from the beginning. Nice. And so we are well into the second season at this point with our rewatching of it. And then, of course, I'm still playing Pokemon Heart Gold. I just beat my last gym trainer, and now I'm like leveling up to go take on the Elite Four, which I like to, you know, level up to like 45, 50 before I go and do that. Mm-hmm. So I've got a little bit of time, but I'm also weird about how I play my Pokemon games. I have a very strict regiment of how I play it. And then, of course, I've been decorating for Halloween. I've been trying not to shop for more Halloween decorations, which has been a chore. We work right next to two different thrift shops.
Okay.
And one of my coworkers and I have been making little strolls down there, and I've gotten several additional pieces of Halloween decorations from that shop.
Like a ghost face candle.
Say what? Oh yeah. I got a ghost face, candle. And the wick is on the top of his head. I don't think I'm going to light it though. I think it looks good as decoration.
And it might like channel the killer if you light it.
Yeah, it's like one of those totems. You light it and then he's going to show up and kill us all. So I ain't doing that. There was a porcelain doll witch that they had there, but I was pretty sure that if I got it, it was cursed and it was going to kill us. The only other exciting thing I forgot to mention is that I got the Pokemon Halloween plushes.
Yay!
Yeah, I actually, for the first time ever, was able to just be like, you know what, screw it, and I'm going to do it. And I got the Snorlax and the Piplup one.
And they're so toot.
They are so cute. I still am mad at myself for not getting that Celebi witch one that they had a couple years ago. It's like $90 on eBay now.
Damn. Boo.
Boo. But that's it. That's pretty much all I've been doing.
Very nice. And for listeners who might not be familiar with the Land of Oz, I promise you've probably seen it in this article that's everywhere online talking about the creepy Wizard of Oz theme park that's abandoned, but it's not actually abandoned.
Not anymore.
Well, my week, I have a few exciting things. First and foremost, Nintendo released a new Direct video. No. I was not uber impressed by that much from it, but I am happy that I can report that in the Mario Party game that takes some boards from the previous games, we get Horror Land.
Yes!
Other than that, my week is filled with preparing submissions to send off at the end of the week. And then I send them off at the end of the week and I've got a few more back, both rejections. That's okay. Totally to be expected. And they're really nice in their rejections, even if they are a form letter.
These are nice.
Well, at least they're nice.
Mom raised them right.
I also started watching my Halloween specials and episodes on September 26th is when I start, because I listed them and then marked out how many days I need to watch so I can watch exactly up to Halloween. So I have begun that process.
Movie math is the best math.
Yes. it's one of my few favorite maths.
The mathesis?
Yes. I'm also really excited because just today I got this in the mail. Finally, it's
yay! Are we gonna watch it?
Yes, we have to. We need to.
Sweet.
But it is Scooby-Doo meets Courage the Cowardly Dog, straight out of nowhere. I ordered this back in the middle of the month, and it just now arrived. But I'm happy that it did because I was getting a little antsy for it. I'm also really excited because in the bonus episodes, because with new Scooby-Doo DVD release, we get 2 to 3 bonus episodes. On this DVD is the Diller Chiller Thriller episode, which is one of the Scooby-Doo show episodes that had not previously been released on DVD until they released like a DVD of celebrating the 50th anniversary. That DVD gets a little pricey sometimes, and I literally have everything else that's on it but that episode. And so I did not purchase that because I did not want to buy stuff I already had for just one new thing. But this DVD was new and the episode's on it. So I feel like I won both ways there.
Nice. Now, what is that episode about? Is it something special?
It is. It's the one and only episode that we have Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Dum, and Scooby-Dee.
Ooh.
It's her only episode. And the Scooby-Doo show is honestly probably my favorite incarnation of Scooby-Doo. It's creepy. It's great. It's still, you know, child friendly enough to where kids don't get scared by it, but I love it. And ever since I found that the episode was available on DVD, I needed it to complete the collection thus far.
That's cute.
And finally, the other thing that I'm really excited about, just today, I was able to place my order for a new tabletop game that I have been eyeing up for quite some time and watching videos on how to play. I can play it solo or with other people, and it is called A Touch of Evil.
What's it about?
It's a gothic horror game where you are these supernatural hunters that go into this village to save them from whatever supernatural entity is plaguing them.
That sounds fun.
Yes, it's a very light description, but that's what I know for now based on what I've watched. But ever since I've seen it, I've kind of fell in love with it. It's 10 years old, probably a little older, and I am a little upset I didn't know about this earlier because I got the 10-year anniversary edition, which comes with some really cool figurines. It was a little pricey, so I saved some gift cards and has some leftover birthday money that I used on it. And now I just need the postal system to get their act together and ship it to me in a few days.
Give it. Give now.
Oh, we need to play our Power Rangers game again.
Oh my God, I want to play that game so bad.
I got it. And my brother's getting another expansion.
Which one?
I can't remember because he showed me one that he said was a good Christmas idea. And it's a Christmas themed one that honestly is like Santa Claus versus some monster that I'm not familiar with. Yes.
It sounds so fun. Did he get the Vulcan Skull expansion ever?
He has not yet. And I'm pretty sure this last one he got has the Thunder Swords. I think, if I remember correctly. But yes, we need to play it again. I still have them all on my game shelf.
I'm excited.
But that's been my week.
I had forgotten about the Nintendo Direct. They also released more information about Metroid. Apparently there's a companion site for it now that you can literally just go and like mine for clues about the game, I guess. I haven't looked at it yet. I've just been kind of tired.
I was going to ask if you have been all over that site yet, because you're right.
I need to be. I'm sure once I get like a day to just doom scroll on the couch, I'll take a deep dive into it. But I'm just waiting until I can play it. Like, I don't even know if maybe it's like I don't want spoilers or something. I'm just excited to have new Metroid that's not like clunky old. Like, I haven't played some of the older games, but like, new Metroid.
It's not a reboot. They're not just giving us a port of like a Game Boy one or something. It's new.
I mean, I wish they would port the Samus Returns that was on the 3DS, so I don't have to buy a 3DS or borrow one. Like, just put it on the Switch, man.
Well, if you need to borrow one, I do have a spare. But I think we all had good weeks. It sounds fun.
We did.
And now for the really, really fun stuff.
Now for our feature presentation.
Yes.
Poem read by Vincent Price's ghost.
Oh my God, if only we could have that. He is my idol.
I wish I could do like a good Vincent Price voice, but I just can't.
Same. I love him so much. But to begin our little ghost stories with, this is the tale of the Bluff Mountain Devil. Bluff Mountain is in West Jefferson, and also there's apparently one in Virginia that's more directly on the Appalachian Trail. But this one is about the one in Ashe County, West Jefferson, which is nearby a neighboring county to where we live. And I'll begin with the story.
Let's hear it.
So during time, minor details of this story have changed. For example, some variations of the story refer to the farmer as John Krebs, while other variations keep the farmer anonymous. Also, some stories say the farmer was looking for a lost calf, while others say he was getting ready to work, but the core of the story remains the same. While navigating the rough terrain of Bluff Mountain, the farmer ran into a heavy, almost unnatural fog. The farmer then began smelling sulfur and heard rustling coming from a thicket. As the farmer felt for a deep sense of anxiety that something was wrong, the devil parted ways through the brush and emerged from the fog, staring at the farmer the entire time. Scared stiff, the farmer listened as the devil warned him to never speak of whom he saw at Bluff Mountain. If he did, he would die in 3 days. Without looking back, the farmer ran home as quickly as he could, and once he reached relatively safety, he discovered his hair had all been turned snow white from fear. He immediately told his wife about the encounter, and 2 days later, the farmer was found mysteriously dead near the edge of the woods, or in a rocking chair, depending on which version of the story you've heard. And that is the story of the devil on Bluff Mountain.
That is quite wild.
Got to start us off big with the devil himself. I couldn't find any information on what the devil was doing up there, why I guess he let the farmer go so easily, but I like it. And I work with a coworker whose family owns Bluff Mountain. They did donate it to a conservatory, but when they did, they worked out so they still retain the rights to essentially go on there whenever they want. But if anyone else wanted to hike the mountain, you have to get permission and go through all this red tape.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
All right. The next one is a little closer to home. The next tale I have is the Ghost of East Hall of Appalachian State University.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yes. All right. The story begins in the early 1960s when Appalachian State was still the Appalachian Teachers College. East Hall is a U-shaped and built into the side of a steep hill, and consequently, two of the wings of the three stories, while the oldest wing in the building has five. That sentence didn't make a lot of sense, but that's what the article says. It's on the lowest floor of the five-story wing, a level known as the basement, that a young student tragically took her own life. The cause of her suicide is not remembered. Maybe it was an unhappy love affair. Maybe it was just endless Boone winters getting her down. Whatever the reason, one morning her body was discovered hanging from a long silk scarf in the basement. Ever since then, the whole old wing of the East Hall has been the center of strange and unnatural activity. Students living in the East Hall report hearing faint, whispered voices when walking in the hallways. Some students have said that they've woken up in the middle of the night to see strange balls of light hovering near the ceiling of their dorm rooms. And there's at least one report of a student being pushed over by a ghost. The young man said he was walking on the third floor on his way to the bathroom when he heard a voice coming from nowhere and saying something that sounded like, "My dorm." As soon as this happened, he experienced what felt like a hand pushing against his forehead and said that his legs kept moving forward, but his head was being held in place and he toppled over backwards. But the strongest presence of the spirit seems to be in the basement, particularly in the narrow room that adjoins the bathroom where the young woman died. Many students have reported feeling unusual cold spots when moving through the basement. Others have reported being alone in one of the basement rooms, but feeling a strong sense of presence as if there is someone else in the room with them. Many students have also reported seeing a strange glowing blue mist in the basement. Roughly the size of a human being, the glowing mist is said to be seen moving through the basement, passing through walls, and always returning to the small bathroom that was the scene of the tragedy. An intense feeling of anger or malevolence is said to accompany the appearance of this mist. Whatever is inhabiting the East Hall seems to be having an effect on everyone who lives there. East Hall has a reputation for being a hotspot for student breakdowns and mental health problems. Students who live in the dorm exhibit a bizarre variety of eccentric and even psychotic behaviors, allegedly. The campus mental health services keeps a quiet watch on the students in this dormitory and is always on the lookout for the first signs of someone going east. Again, this is all allegedly in that last paragraph.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It's actually just like asbestos dust just floating around in the building at all times.
Or maybe it's a ghost.
Everyone has low-level carbon monoxide poisoning.
No.
It's actually lead poisoning from the water, drinking the water from the dorm.
Uh-oh. Well, you know, town water.
There's a pipe in the basement that causes it all to mist everywhere. So there's just lead everywhere.
Well, I actually have two personal accounts because I work with someone else whose partner was an RA in East Hall for 2 years, and she gave me two little stories to also share.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Dean is the main ghost. This man was like 20, roughly, and he is unknown to have been murdered or committed suicide. They found him with a bullet in his head and a gun nearby. That was on the first floor in the corner of the room of the left hallway. She thinks it's around circa room 125, if that room even still exists. He has been known to mess with electronics, but if you ask him to stop, he will. A resident watched her headphones levitate in the air and then play music, which was whatever she was listening to on Spotify. They dropped after a few seconds. Another RA reported her TV turning on and off at the time, but she would just say, "Dean, this is not the time. Please stop." And he would. One winter, as they were closing for the winter break and doing last minute room checks to make sure that there was nothing plugged in, windows were closed and no nasty food, etc., was left. My friend's partner, their name is Mira. They heard something thrown down the hall. They were in room 225. and the sound was heavy, except enough to be maybe like a basketball is what they thought it was. Everyone except for Mira and their boss were out of the building or moved out for the winter. When they went to search, making sure there wasn't someone loitering or breaking in, there was no one there. Mira reports being in the bathroom and her boss, their boss, walking in the hall behind them when they hear the loud bouncing ball again. And they decided that they were not going to mess with that. And as they were leaving the building, they noticed the fire extinguisher door was open. And these are the type of fire extinguishers that were supposed to be closed and you would have to break to get into. And that is their experience with the ghost of East Hall.
Vandals, all of them.
Or was it?
Vandals. No, I'm saying the ghosts are vandals. They should be held accountable.
Yes, they should.
So do you think they were just like drunk or was it real?
I think Mira's accounts are real for sure, because I know as an RA, you make sure everyone is out and you would know if someone's still in their room. Like, it's really obvious. Most college dorms don't have that many hiding spots, especially the older type buildings. And, you know, and I feel like I can attest to some things too, going to a haunted college of my own. And maybe I could tell those stories at a later time. But those are the two stories I wanted to share.
Very nice.
Thank you. Tom, you have some fun things for us?
I do have some stories to share. First of all, I believe we had a ghost in my house growing up. Did y'all have a house ghost anywhere you lived?
I had a house ghost in my parents' house after I was adopted in high school. And I will share that story when it's my turn.
Currently, there is one in the house, or maybe two or three.
Standing behind you. I see it.
Yeah, I told you, Shane, there was a guy standing behind you earlier.
Maybe.
Well, we had a ghost at our house that had a little girl's voice, and she would turn on the sink. And it scared away some house sitters at some point. But my brother actually looked into it, and he had actually saved. So we had bought the house from a family friend, and he had actually saved that family's daughter from falling in a pool when she was little. And she had like taken baths in that sink when they lived in that house because she was a baby. Mm-hmm. And so like my brother looked into it and said that, I guess like maybe they were bonded and she was imprinted on the sink and all that stuff. But kind of a weird story. But yeah, I definitely had, there was definitely a girl's voice in our house that would just come out of nowhere every now and then. And it scared the crap out of me one day, but you know, your brain can play tricks with you as well. So, but, it definitely, multiple people house sitting for us had the sink turned on them, and our cats weren't that good at turning on the sink.
I have experienced that as well. So I think ghosts can turn on sinks.
Yeah.
Why they do this, I don't know, but I feel like it happens.
I just want to drink water. They're parched being dead all the time. No one talks about how dusty it is to be a ghost. And then apparently our high school, Shane, was haunted. Did you ever have the math teacher who talked about seeing the ghost?
I did not.
One of my math teachers said that he would be there grading papers late at night. And then one time he just turned around and there was like a just really, really, really old man standing over his shoulder. And he like fell out of his chair and then turned around and he was gone. And I guess another teacher might have, I forget the exact story, but another teacher might have seen him too. But that school was definitely haunted.
Yes, I was gonna say
lots of bad decades of bad energy in that decrepit building that just fell apart and burned down. I would believe that my old high school is haunted. Mm-hmm. There's another place that people say is haunted right down the road from where Reggie lives. I'm not going to say the name of the church because I don't want people going there, but it's in Valley Cruces. It's a very pretty white and green rustic church built in the, I believe, late 19th century. But there, I guess, was all these rumors about, like the church rector who they say he drove his congregation away and then hung himself in the rafters, and they put his grave far away from the church because he was disgraced and all this stuff. And it's actually, it turns out that the rafter that they said he hung himself on wasn't added to the church until after that guy had died. And he had actually passed away from taking care of tuberculosis patients in his mission and was very well loved. So that's kind of a bit of a vicious ghost story that has actually caused some vandalism to that church. And it's a very, very pretty church. But like I said, I'm not going to say the name of it because I don't want people going there.
Oh, you mean... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that place right down the road from Reggie's house, you know? Yeah. Reggie's address that I'm going to put out there now. send us money. Yeah. And then a final one, also in Valley Cruises, where Reggie lives, another haunted place, is the Demon Dog of Valley Cruises.
Hey, her name is Josie, and she is an angel.
Don't you mean Mrs. Iglesias?
No, she's Josie tonight.
When she's Mrs. Iglesias, she becomes the demon dog?
I believe it. We're talking about you.
When Reggie's dog Josie is up in her feelings, her name is Mrs. Iglesias.
Like from Bridesmaids, she becomes a, like she will not acknowledge you. She literally will turn her head and like, I don't, what, oh are you speaking? I couldn't be bothered.
But I found an article on the Demon Dog of Valley Cruces on North Carolina Ghosts, NorthCarolinaGhosts.com, and I'll get into it. So let's see. One of the most frightening apparitions in the catalog of North Carolina hauntings comes from the quiet mountain town of Valley Cruces. This small town takes its name, which is Latin for Valley of the Cross, from two streams which meet at right angles in the middle of the valley. The morning mist lingers longer in the Valley of the Cross than elsewhere in the mountains, and even on sunny days, the town has a quietness to it that seems to set it apart from the rest of the world. It's rich that they're calling it a town. But it's at night that the supernatural side of Valley Cruces reveals itself. There's a certain old stone church located along Highway 194 just on the edge of town, where among the leaning graves of the churchyard cemetery, something that could not possibly be from this world steps out of the shadows. It happened one time that two young men were driving along this road around midnight. It was clear at night. The moon was full, bathing the valley in an eerie white glow. As their car turned the corner, passing the old church, the two young men saw a shadow leap out from behind one of the graves and into the road in front of them. Swerving to avoid whatever had landed in the road, the driver slammed his foot on the brake and pulled off onto the side of the narrow road. Wondering what had almost hit, he craned his head around his shoulder to see what was in the road. It was a dog, but not an ordinary dog. This dog was tall and as wide as a full-grown man, covered with bristling black fur and bearing its massive yellow teeth. And the animal's eyes were glowing, not reflecting light like a dog's eyes will do, but actually glowing, burning with a smoldering red light that seemed to have about it something of the very fires of hell. The one young man turned to the other and asked, "Do you see that?" "No," his friend replied, "and neither do you." The animal began to walk towards their parked car. By mutual and unspoken agreement, the driver lifted his foot off the brake and slammed it down on the accelerator. They roared down the mountain road, taking the hairpin turns and twists of the road at 60, 70, and 80 miles an hour. It's only when the driver looked in the rearview mirror that he realized that the dog was still following them and keeping up with them and even gaining on them. Panicked and expecting the jaws of the dog to wrap around the bumper of the car and drag it back to hell, the driver gave one final push on the accelerator, and just as the beast was about to catch them, the car leapt over the bridge, the water just below where the streams meet and across, and the dog stopped following them. They watched it fade into the distance and wondered what supernatural law it was that the animal was obliged to obey that kept its territory limited by the boundaries of the water. The two young men drove into Boone and went into the local Waffle House, since it was the only place around that was open 24 hours, and they both knew that neither was going to sleep that night. So, a couple problems. First of all, the church they're talking about, the cemetery is very well kept up and the gravestones are not leaning. So I just wanted to correct them there. And then also I thought it was very rich when they said that they were driving 60, 80, 90 miles an hour, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour through Valley Cruces. If you drive like 45 miles an hour through Valley Cruces, you might die. So the fact that they were apparently driving 80 miles an hour, that's just, they're probably driving like 35 miles an hour and just thought they were driving 80 miles an hour. And then also, the Valley Cruces did get its name from the Valley of the Cross, because there were two streams that formed a St. Andrew's cross in the middle of the valley. So the cross that looks like an X, like that's on the Scottish flag. But actually, that was destroyed by a flood. It rerouted the river, so you can no longer see that cross in Valley Cruces. And also, we did not have a Waffle House when this story was around in Boone, so that's also wrong.
Wait, when does it say the story takes place?
I've heard this story since I was in high school, and we didn't get a Waffle House until like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that Waffle House just got built.
True, but maybe
it really didn't have like a 24-hour breakfast place. I think we like Troy's was open 24 hours for a minute.
No, there used to be an older one. It was not a Waffle House, but it was
Huddle House. But I don't think that was open 24 hours either. I don't know. Like I said, no one's driving to 80 miles an hour in Valley Cruces and surviving.
That part is kind of true.
But
now that the rivers are destroyed, does that mean the Valley Cruces demon dog might be elsewhere nearby?
I don't know, because they were destroyed before the story came about.
Oh. Like,
early flood. I don't know the exact date, but apparently there was a terrible flood back in the early days.
Well, I will say, as someone who actually lives in the Valley Cruces area, I have dogs. My neighbor has dogs. There's somebody over there has dogs. But every now and then there is a random dog bark that is unexplained.
Oh, yeah. I mean, also people just let their dogs wander in this county.
So it could be that. It could be the evil demon dog, but I don't know.
I choose it's the evil demon dog.
Well, that's my stories. If Reggie doesn't tell one that I think he might be telling, I have one more that I might add later, but I want to hear what Reggie has to say now.
All right. Well, I have had a lot of run-ins with the supernatural. So I definitely am one of those people that believes in ghosts and witches and all that stuff. So one time when I was in high school, to impress this girl, I like broke into this museum and lit this candle on fire. And then these three witches, that's Hocus Pocus. Okay. So one time me and my friends went camping in this cabin in the woods, and this girl found a book in the basement. And then she,
Take it back. So you lit that candle. Does that mean you were a virgin?
No. Okay. But for real. So growing up, I lived in Wilkesboro, which is just right down the mountain from Boone, where we live now. And there was several, local stories. And my own house that I grew up in was haunted. So the house that I lived in originally was just a log cabin. like a single room log cabin where the kitchen, living room, everything was downstairs. And then on the lofts was where the bedroom was. And the people who like lived in that house before my parents bought it and renovated it and added onto it, like way back in the day, worked in tobacco. And apparently what the story is that the guy didn't make enough in doing tobacco. And so he ended up like climbing out top of the house and then jumping off and killing himself.
No. And
he landed right where my bedroom was added on. And so in my room, for no reason whatsoever, no fans on, no anything going on, like I had lanyards, like the little name tag things from different kind of events, hanging on a corkboard. And it would just like start swaying for no reason. I would fold my clothes and put them on my chair. And then I would wake up in the morning and they would be all unfolded all over the floor. And sometimes like you could be in the house and all of a sudden you would smell cigarette smoke as if somebody was standing right next to you, blowing it in your face. My mom smelled it. My dad smelled it. I smelled it. Nobody in my household smoked. It got to the point where like, if I had people come over and stay the night, they literally would be in my room and I would sleep on the couch. And at some point they would come and get me and make me switch with them because they got too freaked out. I was never scared of it because it didn't seem harmful or scary to me. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like a nuisance. but that's my actual like 4 years through high school. Like I literally lived through that and dealt with that.
You just made me miss like sleepovers when weird stuff would happen. Those were the best sleepovers.
And I'm not kidding you. Like every single person who would stay over at my house, if they stayed in my room and I slept on the couch, like they would come and switch with me at some point because they couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell them that before they would sleep or what?
No, I would not say anything to them because I knew that if I did, they'd be like, "Oh, why are you messing with me? Blah, blah, blah." And like, it was true. It was real. I'm not playing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So where I grew up in Wilkesboro, there were two big spooks that you could go and visit. One of them is the haunted bus. I don't know what you want to call it. But it was over in the Trap Hill area in Wilkesboro, kind of where North High is.
Mm-hmm.
So what the story is that there were two kids that lived in an extremely abusive household. Their father was a drunk and just a horrible, horrible person. And sometimes when the kids would get off the bus driver would honk and wave at the kids as a, you know, affectionate way of saying goodbye. And the dad hated that because it always woke him up from drinking. And he said that if the bus driver kept doing it, he was going to get him. So how the story goes is that it was the middle of winter and there was a really bad snowstorm and the kids ended up getting out of school early and the bus took the kids home down the road and the bus ended up getting stuck in the snow and was making all kinds of noises. And so the kids went behind the bus to push it out of the snow in fear of what the dad was going to come out and do. And the bus ended up rolling backwards and killing the two kids. And that's what the story of the ghost kids are. Now you can go to the spot in your car, put it in neutral at the bottom of a hill, and you literally will roll up the hill. Now, allegedly you can put baby powder or flour on your bumper. And then afterwards you can see the fingerprints. I personally have done it many times. I've been to the spot. I have put my vehicle in neutral and I rolled up the hill. I never saw fingerprints in the flour or the baby powder. I will say that much.
That's wild to me because where I went to school in Eastern North Carolina, there's a town called Maxton and there's something like that called the Gravity Hill. Similar story. Someone like killed by in a wreck at the bottom of the hill. And if you put your car in neutral, it will go backwards up the hill. And if you put the baby powder on the hood, you'll see the mom's handprints and stuff. But I guess the way they explain it in Maxton is just like the trees at the bottom of the hill make it look like it's just like an optical illusion, but I got to do it. And it was super cool and creepy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. There's got to be some kind of actual scientific reasoning where it just looks like you're going uphill, but you're actually going down. It's just like the perspective of it. But it is creepy, and it is a really good way to get your date to scoot closer to you. I will say that. Okay.
It is something I want to experience because I've never experienced either of those places. And I mean, I think the fact that we have two might just mean that there are some really helpful ghosts.
Yeah. Well, I still know exactly how to get to the one in Wilkesboro. So if we ever want to make like a Halloween evening trip and go do something like that, I'm down because I know how to get there.
Live on location.
We can stop by my mom's house and she'll make us some hot cocoa or something.
Yay.
And go trick or treating. All right, so now this is one of my favorite stories growing up in Wilkesboro. So there is a road called Suncrest Orchard Road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like where I lived in Miller's Creek versus the rest of Wilkesboro, like where downtown and stuff. It was literally like the road that kind of split the halfway point of everything.
Okay.
And it was also that road that you could go from this side of town to the back side of town to the right side of town to the left side of town, all from this one road. You could get to anywhere. And down Suncrest Orchard Road is a bridge. Now, I have only ever known the bridge to be called the Rose Witch Bridge. And the reason why it's called the Rose Witch Bridge is because it's like one of those cement bridges, like the cinder block bridges, you know what I'm talking about, where it's just like one solid piece. But in the middle of it, on the sides, is a crack. And from that crack, every single year, a single rose would grow out of it and bloom on the side. Just one. And every year, like I'm not kidding you, every single year, just one single red rose would grow out of it. And so what you were supposed to be able to do is at night, you drive across the bridge, you turn your lights off and you reverse back over and you turn your lights on and you'll see a woman standing there. Now, I did it several times with multiple friends and, you know, I only one time ever thought I saw something. And it wasn't like there was a woman standing there and then all of a sudden she vanished. It was like, oh, maybe I just saw a woman and she kind of like disappeared. I'm sure it was just smoke and fogs. Now, I don't know what the story behind why it's called Rose Witch Bridge. I don't know what the story is of why you drive across, turn the lights off, reverse and turn them on. I just know that that was something that everybody in my high school talked about. And they would be like, did you go do it this weekend? Did you see her? Like,
you should do it to a Missy Elliott song.
Oh, and then the only other fun story that I have for you is one time when I was of age, I was out after drinking with some friends and we had a DD. And we went down some dirt road and passed a field and we passed a sign. And I don't care what anybody else says. The sign said, beware of werewolves. I am not the only person that saw it. There was two other people in the back seat with me. We all saw it. We all said, like, wait, what? Stopped, reversed. Then the sign was gone.
No sign at all.
There was no sign whatsoever. And again, I will say we were drinking, but all three of us saw it. All three of us saw it. It said, beware of werewolves. And then it was gone.
I love it.
Maybe it was the ghostly warning.
We quickly left that area and went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But those are my fun local down the mountain stories that I got to share.
You know the Wilkesboro legend that I want to know the answer to?
Which one?
For like 10 years, someone would spray paint I Love You Sunshine on the side of an overpass on the highway through Wilkes County. And I wanted to know who Sunshine was and who had the dedication to go out and paint an overpass on like a yearly basis.
I have definitely seen the I Love You Sunshine, but I haven't heard any kind of story associated with it.
I just want to know who Sunshine is.
You know who Sunshine is.
I'm Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Shane is Sunshine. He's got the long flowing locks. Just like the sun. Well, I had fun this week.
Me too. Thank you guys for doing this.
First podcast on Zoom in a while.
Oh yeah, I don't know if anybody noticed, but we are on Zoom this week.
Hopefully they didn't notice. But yeah, this was a great episode. I think it's really fun. I love celebrating Halloween. I know we did the Halloween list last year of what we like, but I like to do things that are slightly different and still incorporate who we are with it.
Oh, absolutely. Are we still going to rank them?
Yes.
Oh, we didn't rank them.
We need to do that.
All right. For me, I think... Well, I am not a big fan of devil, demon, or possession stories. Mm-hmm. So for me, I would say that the scariest one would be the devil one that Shane told.
Not a fan of demon hauntings.
I'm not. My mom has always had a problem with it, and just out of respect for her, I've never really gotten into those types of movies. You know, I'll watch ghost stories and stuff like that. But if it's something specific about like the devil, I normally steer away from those just because. And then after that one, I would say to me, the Rose Witch one always scared me just because I didn't know what the actual story of it was. And like, was it a Bloody Mary situation? Like if we saw her, were we next? Like, was I safe because I never saw her? And then the demon dog one is spooky to me because I live here and I do hear random barkings when my dogs are inside sometimes if I'm outside at night and I'm like, oh, what is that? And then I guess the rest of them would just like kind of trickle in behind that.
Mm-hmm.
My number one would probably be Reggie's house. That does not sound fun, man.
The only thing that was annoying about that was like if I picked out a nice pair of clothes and then it literally, and I'm not like, oh, you put it on the bed and you kicked it off while you're sleeping. Like, no, I put it on my desk chair, you know, hung it over the back on the hanger, everything. And then I wake up in the morning and it'd just be thrown everywhere. And then the tobacco smell, like the cigarette smell, just like hit you in the face out of nowhere. Like, well, who's smoking in my bedroom and there's nobody there?
And then I would say the bus one is pretty creepy as well.
It's also sad.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, definitely. And then just, I guess the rest from there. But definitely Reggie's house gave me the
Well, for me, I do think things like demons and, you know, stories of the actual devil do scare me a bit more than anything else. So the Devil of Bluff Mountain was definitely my most scariest. Next, I would probably rank the Valley Christie's Demon Dog, because I've heard about that when I was younger and it was kind of used to scare me a bit. But and while I've had no experiences with it, the idea of something out there in that area close to home is really frightening. I also then think the Rose Witch Bridge, because you have to back up and then you see a woman and like I said, we don't know why. We don't know if she's good or bad or is she really a witch?
or was it, you know, was
and
it?
And then I think from then the rest would trickle down, because I've been to the church Tom mentioned that I will not say the name of. I thought it was really creepy, but now that I know that it's still in use, I don't find it as creepy.
It's pretty. It's really pretty.
And also, I don't know, my screen froze, so I was like, I hope they can hear me. But I think the rest would just fall in after that as well.
Very nice.
This has been a spooktacular episode, Shane.
Yes. Do we want to shout anyone out before we go?
I always want to mention my buddy, owns and runs Willow Mountain Woodwork. He recently had an accident, but he is actually has two employees that works for him now and is back in his shop full force. If you are able to help, he does have a GoFundMe. Otherwise, you can find his work on Facebook, Instagram at Willow Mountain Woodwork. If you need any kind of custom furniture, hit him up. Mm-hmm. Also, our dear friend, Jordy Marie Games, is finally back at it with some Animal Crossing. She flattened out her island. She's starting to redecorate it. You can find her on Twitch at Jordy Marie Games. Go and give her a support. Tell her Total Nerdless sent you. Let's see. I want to shout out our dear friend Shane. He is trying to get himself published. And if anybody out there wants to take a chance on an amazing author, you know, you can find him at Total Nerdless.
No, well, thank you.
I'm his agent.
I'm his co-agent, and we get 10%.
I'm good with that. Tom, do you have anything to shout out?
Movies with Gabriel, Instagram. Been doing some good reviews.
He's been watching some of my favorite movies here recently.
Very nice.
I've gotten behind on my Instagram. You'll have to go check it out.
I'll shout out Mason Blevins, as always. His novel, 34 Degrees, his Twitch character with a underscore between the Karak and Tar, so between the C and T in the middle of the word. And of course, you guys can find us online at Total Nerd List. That's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Ko-fi, if you want to throw a few bucks our way, and YouTube.
Nice.
Very nice. Now, are we still planning for a spooktacular season?
Yes.
I think so.
A long season of spooktacularness.
Awesome. I think we've got some exciting things coming your way, guys. Make sure you're paying attention and stay tuned.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.